Sometimes the words of Jesus in the gospel are very clear and straightforward, easy to understand. For example, last week we read the parable of the one lost sheep. Just reading it once over, you get the basic point. It's very clear in what he's trying to say. But sometimes Jesus' words can be very confusing. And in today's gospel, we have one of the best examples of that. First of all, Jesus tells the parable about a steward who first squanders his master's property, but in the end, it says, the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. And then Jesus seems to tell us to follow the dishonest steward's example. He says, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. What are we supposed to make of this? Is Jesus telling us somehow it's okay to be dishonest? Now, there are two key things necessary to understanding the meaning of Jesus' words today. The first is to understand the use of the word dishonest. Notice this word shows up 5 times in today's gospel. The dishonest steward, the person who is dishonest in small matters is also dishonest in great ones. And then twice he mentions dishonest wealth. Unfortunately, this is not the best translation of the word that's in the original Greek version of the text. Usually it's translated as unjust or unrighteous. It's the word used in Scripture to describe someone who acts totally contrary to God's will, a person who has absolutely no love for God. So we have not simply a dishonored steward, but an unrighteous steward. Like someone who does not love God, the steward shows his contempt for his master by squandering his property and cheating him. It's not just that he's dishonest, he despises his master and has no respect for him whatsoever. So why protect his property? Look at the sentence. Make friends for yourself with dishonest wealth so that when it fails, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Let's change that dishonest wealth to unrighteous wealth. What does Jesus mean by unrighteous wealth? Does he mean that all money is bad? That all money is somehow contrary to God's will or to the love of God? No, I mean, for example, if you give money to the poor, or you use money to help a sick person, or you use money to provide for your family, money is a very good thing in that sense. And money well earned, that you worked hard for, is a good thing in that sense too. Does Jesus then mean that money that's gotten by dishonest or sinful means is bad? Maybe. But he seems to mean something more here. He has something else in mind, I think. Earlier I said there were 2 keys to understanding this passage. The second key comes when we listen to the words that are at the very end and sum up his whole sermon. What's his point? He says, no servant can serve 2 masters. He will either hate one or love the other, and love the other, or be devoted to one and love the other, and despise the other, excuse me. And then the conclusion that sums it all up. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Now, a little bit more Greek. The underlying Greek word that's translated here as wealth, or unrighteous wealth, is actually the same word that we now translate as mammon. So that in this passage, really, where he says wealth and mammon, they're the same Greek word, the same thing. So what Jesus is saying is, a man who loves worldly wealth, mammon, more than he loves God, winds up not loving God at all. In other words, you become unrighteous. So unrighteous wealth isn't merely money that's been gotten by dishonest means, but money that you love more than God himself. Worldly wealth, money, riches, property, etc., isn't in and of itself evil. But when you love money as if it were God or more important than God, then you have a big problem. Because, of course, the first commandment, the first of the 10 commandments says, I am the Lord your God. You have no other gods before me. Money can't be your God. And all the commandments are summed up when Jesus says what he called the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Okay, now let's go back to those problematic sentences. First, the master commended that unrighteous steward for acting prudently. Note he commended him not for his unrighteousness, but for his prudence or his wisdom and cleverness. And then he goes on and says, make friends for yourself with unrighteous wealth so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. In other words, be clever. Take that stuff you love more than God and use it for doing some good, and then maybe you can get to heaven. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. But we still have a problem. That sounds an awful lot like buying your way into heaven, doesn't it? It's pretty clever in a human way, if it were true. But that's not the kind of cleverness that Jesus is talking about. So again, you go to that second key. You cannot serve both God and mammon. That's the first principle of the wisdom that Jesus wants us to use. If we're going to be clever, if we're going to be wise, then we have to start with that. First, placing God, not the world, at the beginning, center, and end of all things. So in this context, when we see that when he says, be clever and take that stuff you love more than God and use it for doing something good, he's not saying you can buy your way into heaven, but rather he's saying be wise with the wisdom rooted in the love of God and then stop loving worldly things more than God and show your love for God by using those things for doing good, by giving them away because they're not that important to you. And use them for something that God would want. And then, when you love God more than those things, then you will get to heaven. Pretty simple, right? It's a long way to go around, I know. Unfortunately, if you don't go that way, you get a lot of bad interpretations, even dangerous interpretations. Some folks read this passage and say it means simply give to the poor. Okay, but what do we give and how do we give and why do we give? Some would say that it means that it doesn't matter how you get your money as long as you do good things with it. In other words, the ends justify the means. So if you rob a bank, that's okay as long as you give some of it to the poor. Others would use it to justify dedicating their lives to the love of money and not worrying about loving God as long as they do some good things with their money. So they don't love God, but they set up a trust fund, a foundation, and they give money to some good causes, and then they live in their big mansions, and they fly around the world in their jets, and all's good, because they gave some of their money away to help in a good project. No. Some also use it to say that God wants us to be clever with money, so that when you're clever with money and you're successful, they use that as proof of their love of God. Actually, this is an old form of the Calvinist heresy. All this kind of thing gets us into all sorts of trouble. For example, throughout the history of the church, various priests and bishops, even popes, have allowed this kind of thinking to corrupt the life of the church. For instance, the notorious cases where some priests and bishops were actually trying to sell salvation, either by accepting bribes to give sacramental absolution to people, to kings and princes who weren't repentant, or by selling indulgences contrary to the law and teaching of the church. In modern times, we see a different but a similar kind of corruption in the church, where a priest will tailor what he preaches so that he doesn't offend his parishioners, because he knows that if he edits some of the gospel to leave out some of the hard sayings, then his collection won't go down. Right? And the people will still like him, and he can build, a new rectory or maybe put up new paintings. So he doesn't say the hard things because he's worried about the money. In modern times, and then we also see it sometimes when bishops are so afraid of losing their tax-exempt status or losing the government funding for certain projects that they do, then they refuse to take hard stands to defend and uphold Catholic doctrine or to admonish erring Catholic public officials. How many times have we seen this? These men are very clever, and they're merely trying to protect the finances of the church. They're not evil people. They're just trying to protect the money of the church so that they can spend it on doing good works. But true wisdom is the mind of God, not the cleverness of the world. Priests are called to be men of God, not men of business. And serving God's money is never more important than serving God himself. And this isn't just some priest do. This is things that you do too. You work hard for your money and all the stuff you have, good for you. You're very clever and worldly wise. And you do it all for a good and noble purpose. You work hard for money for your family or to save so that you won't be a burden when you're older. Or to afford to be able to help other people. Or at least that's how it begins. Or what you tell yourself in the beginning. But then over time, somehow, you discover, if you look at yourself carefully, you discover that helping your family has become little more than just keeping up with the Joneses, competing with your neighbors, being able to afford to give their kids things that are good, just like every loving parent should, becomes giving them what they want, having enough money to spend on the newest toys, so to speak. Whether it's good for them, truly good for them or not. And as they give generously to charities, more and more they do it because they want to see their name listed publicly as a benefactor for all the world to see. They would be offended if you didn't tell everybody what they'd done. They give to those who are less fortunate, but then they go away looking down on those people because they needed the money in the first place. Look how much better I am, because I have money to give to the poor. In today's parable, the steward is condemned for failing to serve or to love his master, but he is commended for his worldly cleverness. It took us a little worldly cleverness to get past the confusing words and really the weak translation. But while this cleverness was in part the wisdom of men, in the end it took the fundamental wisdom of Jesus poured out in Scripture to teach us the true meaning of these words today. As we now continue to celebrate this Holy Mass, let us pray for the wisdom that begins and ends with loving God above all things, the foundational wisdom revealed by Jesus today, that you cannot serve both God and mammon. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.